Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is on Mesiyah Daf Mem Dalad. But Mesiyah Dalad, Ezra Hashem, will finish the third parak and start the fourth parak. Fourth parak, Azav, deals with transactions, currencies, and kinyanim. And the fifth parak, not really the same, but they kind of lump it together, deals with also with halachas of ribis. So we'll be moving on, Mr. Hashem, a little bit from the sugis of Aveda and Pekadins onto more business transactions. But let's pick it up from Mem Gimel Amad Beis. We're at the two dots. We left off with Rabbi Akiva Shita. The Mishnah we had discussed, a three-way machlekas, Beishamai, Beisil, and Rabbi Akiva. If one is Shaleach Yad in a Pekadin, a Shamer, who is given a Pekadin to watch, and he's Shaleach Yad, so what is the obligation to pay if the item later gets destroyed? What's his obligation to pay? Beishamai held, Yilka Bechas V'yeser, he pays the highest amount. Beisil says, he pays Kishas Eitza. And the Gemara went on to a whole lengthy conversation. What does it mean, kishas haitza? What does it mean when the haitza, when he takes it, when he shilech bayad? What does it mean, kishas haitza, when it gets destroyed? And last year, Bekiva, the Mishnah said, kishas haTviya, like the time of Tviya, the time of the claim. So before we get into Rabbi Akiva, just to review quickly outside, we had discussed multiple possibilities for Pshat in the Mishnah. Problem we had with the first three or four possibilities was simply that Beishamai or Rabba would end up being like Beishamai with regard to various discussions. Meaning, the Gemara made it tell you whether Shlichus Yad, Shlichus Aron in one Mahalach, in another Mahalach. The Gemara made it tell you whether Tavar Shasya, the din of which Rabba brings in Bava Kama, in Meruba, that if one breaks something, it steals what is worth one and breaks what is worth four, you pay Kishas the worth four, Kishas the Shvira. The time you broke it, that's Rabba Shita, which would shtim only with Beishamai. So the Gemara dismissed the first few interpretations of the Mishnah, not because inherently the Mishnah is a problem, only because it would end up coming out that various Amaram fit only like Beishamai, which we don't want to have. The third option was about Shalosh Lamidas, according to Beishamai, saying it's a Gazan, according to Beisil, it's not a Gazan, but again, Rav, who says it's a Gazan, is going to come out like Beishamai. So ultimately, the Gemara settled that the Pshat of the Mishnah is, we're not talking about fluctuations in the value of the Pekadin becoming worth more or less. We're talking about the actual Shvach that comes off the Pekadin. For example, the guy left a female sheep, a ewe, as a Pekadin. It has shearings, it could have Vladis. So those shearings of Vladis, who do they belong to? Once the Shemer decides to be Shleich Bayar, and he essentially steals it, does he get to keep those sharings and the vladis, which are really a shinoi, and Gazan is typically kind of shinoi, and that's indeed the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai's opinion is no, he has to give everything back. He doesn't get to keep the shvach, he has to give it all back. That's the yes of a chassid, he has to give back even extras. And we explain it's really mimics the machlekes we had earlier with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The machlekes with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're kind of shinoi, the Gazan therefore gets to keep, as unfair as it sounds, he simply returns the animal the way it was, the value, if it's missing some of the value, because let's say it was pregnant when he stole it, he returns the value, the animal the way it is today, plus whatever extra value it would have for being pregnant, but the vlad itself that was born by the gazan, he gets to keep, because that's the shinoi, as you get to keep the sharings, that's Rabbi Shita, whereas Rabbi Meir holds, no, we knas the gazan and make him give everything back. So Beis Shammai is subscribing to the same shita as Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Hillel is the same shita that we've understood to be Rabbi Yehuda. It's a little bit shver. The first thing I didn't see anyone discuss that what's pshat, you have machlekes from Rabbi Yehuda mimicking a machlekes that we already have with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What's the usually we don't like to have two even. We typically talk about Meram and Tanam having the same machlekes, which bothers us. Lamek Tanai, Lachari, even within Tanam also, not so geshmak, they have different generations of Tanayim arguing the same machlekes. They should just say, we hold like Beishamek, we hold like Beisil. Okay, that's a discussion, but fine. But now the Gemara is going to move on to Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Imer Kishas HaTviya. We're by two dots in the middle of the page on Mem Gilman Beis. Rabbi Akiva says that the Shame has to pay like the shas of the claim of the tviya. Amar Rabbi Dimashmuel Halacha Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Dimashmuel says Halacha in this tviya machlekes is like Rabbi Kiva. Umayid Rabbi Kiva. We pointed out. I think maybe it's only the ninth year. We just had a week ago a machlekes Beishamai. We referenced it. It wasn't the focus of our Gemara. We brought it in from elsewhere. But the Gemara mentioned the machlekes Beishamai Silil and then quoted Rabbi Kiva who says Maidani talking about the case where the house falls on the mother and the son. At the same time, and we're not sure who died first. They both died. We're not sure who died first. And it's machlekes. There's an argument between the yorshim of the son and the yorshim of the mother. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Ma'idani b'zeh Shachasim and Chasim, we just lost our Zoom, 1 second. So we had the Gemara, when we had the Gemara a week ago, the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva says, "Ma'idani bezeh shenachasim bechaskasan," and we pointed out very interesting machlekes. Rashi Tesis, Rashi there says the Rabbi Kiva, what Rabbi Kiva is saying is, even though typically I'm a shamuti, I go like beshamai over here, I go beisilo. Tesis jumps all over that. Tesis jumps over and says, "What? Rabbi Kiva is not a shamuti. You have other places where Rabbi Kiva holds like beisilo." So interesting machlekes. Rashi Tesis whether Rabbi Kiva was from the camp of beshamai or not. Okay, but over here we have another case. We have machlekes beshamai beisilo. And Rabbi Kiva again is weighing in as a third opinion in that machlekes. Says the Gemara over here, "Amar Yidu Shmuel Rabbi Kiva Lachasak." We pass in like Rabbi Kiva. Umayda, and he continues, "Umayda Rabbi Kiva Makom Shesh Edim." Rabbi Kiva is Mayda that when there's Edim who saw the Shema, the Shliach, the Shema, I should say, be Shliach Yad in the Pekadon, the halacha is that he pays based on what it was worth besides the actual Shliach Yad. So meaning, even though it's saying it goes based on Shasfiyah, when he's taken to court for his misdeeds, the Shemer only has to pay based on the value at the time of Tviyah. If there's Edom that saw the Shlichus Yad, then it goes based on that time. Why is that? My time, Adam Akra, Lasher who loy, Yidnenu be Amashmasai. The Pasuk says, Tumit belongs, he should give on the day of his Ashmasai. And Rabbi Kiva is learning from there, Day of Ashmasai means the day that he's found guilty. The day he's found guilty, that's the day you go based on the value at that time. That's the value he has to pay, the value of what it would be worth on the day he's found guilty. Now, that makes sense for Shas Tviya. What about when there's Edim? So the Gemara explains, Kivin Dika Edim, Mushaitu Dechayv Le Ashma. Since there's Edim, what is Edim there? It's clear that Edim saw him misappropriated, he saw him do Shechzad. He's Mikhaev for that moment. The second is Edim, even if you didn't go to court, you didn't actually go to court yet. The fact that there's Edim there, that already cements his chiyuv, and therefore that would be the zman of the Hashama, and therefore that's the, you go based on that, with the value that it was at that time, that's what you pay. So not like Beis Shammai, it says, you always pay the higher amount, not like Beis Hillel, that and all the monies go back to the Nigzel, not like Beis Hillel, it says, you go Kishas Haitza, rather, you go based on Shas Tviya, or when the Edim saw the Shlichus Yad take place. Amar Rabbi Shai or Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shai says, Rabbi Yehuda, this is again within the shittos of Rabbi Kiva, but it's going to be a slightly different mahalach Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Atai McCain, you say the following. However, Rabbi Asi Leimerichon said, Cholak Rabbi Kiva afilu makom sheish edim. You say that when there's edim, that becomes like the Shas Tviya. But Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Asi Leimerichon, even when there's edim, you go based on the Shas Tviya. My time, Tamar Kol Hasher Ulay Yenel Biyam Hashemazay Ubeidinu Dukmachayv LeHashama. It's very nice that it's a foregone conclusion. Once his Edim at Suam Bishleich Yad, that he's going to be Chayev. But until you're in Bezdin, he's not actually Chayev. And therefore, you wait till the day of the Tviya, the day actually in Bezdin. Only then is it considered Yem Hashama, and that's the value of what it was at that day. That's the amount that the shemer pekadon has to pay. Amli Rav Zera Abba Bar Papa. He also Rav Zera said to Rav Abba Papa, when you go over there, there's a Yisrael, Akif Asulama de Tzur, go up to the mountain of Tzur, Va'ol Gavi de Rav Akiva Idi, and go up to Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. We had the lesson before, by the way, they go up to the mountain of Tzur, and go up to Rav Yaakov Idi, Uboimid and ask him, Ishamile de Rav Yechanan, Halach Rav Akiva, Ayinach Rav Akiva. Ask him, if he heard from Rabbi Yechanan, you're qualifying what Rabbi Kiva is talking about. You're saying from Rabbi Kiva that it's Dafka, B'yam HaShamay, in Bezdin, not even with Edim. Now, do we pass like Rabbi Kiva or not? Halach Rabbi Kiva, Halach Rabbi Kiva. Amalei, Halach Rabbi Yechanan, Halach Rabbi Kiva, Le'ilam. So he responded, Rabbi Yechanan says, Halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, and he's stuck in the word, Le'ilam. Ask the Gemara, my Le'ilam, what does it mean, Le'ilam? Amravashi, Shleitav Hanami Le'echad like Edim. Avechad like Edim Le'i. Don't say it's Dafka when there's no Edim, but when there's Edim, you go based on the Shask Zela, which is the Shash Shlichus Yad. Rather, even when there's Edim, you go based on, even when there's Edim, you go based on when it's the Tfi and Bezdin, and not the Edim, which is like Rabbi Yechon, which was quoted earlier from Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Yechon, you go based on the Shas of Bezdin always, not the Edim. Not the time that the even not the time of Shlichus Yad, even when there's Edim, not like what Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel is saying. Vinami, or we could say, why did Rabbi Yechon use the word? Why did Rabbi Yaakov Edi say Halach is like Rabbi Yechonan Le'ilam? What's the word Le'ilam telling me? The Hadro Duchta V'Tabra. Even if the Shemer would put back the Pekadon in its place after he was Shlech Bayad, he then goes and has a little bit of a change of heart and he puts it back in its place, and then it breaks Ba'inus, he's still going to be Chayev. Lafuke mid Rabbi Shmuel. This gets back. This sounds familiar. It should. This is the machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. Lafuke mid Rabbi Shmuel. Damar lebe inadas baylim. Kamash ma zibinadas baylim. We had earlier that when a gazlan returns something, there's machlekes whether or not he has to notify the victim that he returned it or not. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that he does not have to notify the victim as long as he puts it back. It's considered hashava. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion he has to notify. So when we say the lachos like Rabbi Kiva la'aylam, what we were saying when Rav Yaakov Eidi said that Rabbi Yechon said halachas on Rabbi Akiva la'ilam, the la'ilam came to include also if the shamer who is shleich bayad tries to return it without notifying the baylam, that's not considered a proper hashava. For Rava, my Rava says halachas beisil. After quoting Shmuel Shita and the other Shita that seems to be going on Rabbi Akiva, Rava says we actually go like beisil. And beisil Shita again was that you pay kashas haitzah, which we explained in this last pshat, shasetzah means when it does shlichas yad. You go based on when the shlichas yad took place, not at some in Eilam, but it's when the shliach, when the shamer took it out of the rishus of the Baylam. Again, it's in the shamer's rishus, but when he's shlich bayad, and he took it for himself, the amount it was worth at that time, that's the value you pay, that's the value that the shamer pekadon has to pay, not higher or not less, like that's beisil shita, and that's a Rava paskins. Okay, one more Mishnah on this topic of Pekadin. Hashleach hachayishiv l'shleach yad Pekadin. One who has a machshava to be shleach yad by Pekadin. He had a machshava, but he didn't actually do it. Now, to be clear, Rashi learns that what does it mean he had a machshava? Jump into the first Rashi, but to 8 lines off at the bottom of the page. Amar b'fnei edim. He made a declaration in front of edim. I'm going to take that Pekadin that was given to me. Etol p'kdoinei shel pleni latzmi. Tosfos also. Jump to the bottom, Taisvus. Hach machshava avidibur. This machshava is dibur. Kidyalav Taisvus makes other connections to this concept. We find lashem machshava means dibur. Kidyalav me'al kol davar. V'chei machshava is pigol. Nami avidibur. V'lei b'leiv. Taisvus brings a proof that pigol also is, even though we use the word machshava, it is a machshava, but it also means you're verbalizing the machshava. So you're not doing it doesn't necessarily need a maisa. You don't have a maisa. You didn't do the act of shlichus yad. We're saying you're just being mechashiv. You're intending to do it, but intentional order of the mind is not the same as when you verbalize. It has to be verbalized. That's Rashi and Taisa. Mishnah Melech points out that Rambam seems to hold very clearly that the machshava alone is enough. Machshava for shlichus yad is enough to be chayiv. What does Mishnah say? Chayiv l'shlech b'yad b'kadon. B'shamayim chayiv. According to B'shamayim, it's chayiv. B'isil, I'm ein chayiv. B'isil says you're not chayiv. Rambam seems to be taking the words machshava over here literally, not like Rashi Taisa learning that it means with a deeper. Rabbi Yosef Engel is a beautiful chap. He wants to say that Rashi's not arguing Rambam. He wants to say that Rashi's not saying that you need a deeper because machshava alone is nothing, and therefore you need a deeper. The problem is without a deeper, there'll be no. How would we know about your machshava? What's a machshava without a deeper? No one knows about it unless the guy comes clean and says, "Very honest guy, I had a machshava once to shlichus yad, once to do shlichus yad, and therefore I'm obligated to pay." No one's gonna know about it. There's no way to know. And he brings a raya. He says, "Beautiful. Why does Rashi say he was amar b'fnei edim?" Rashi says he's amar b'fnei edim. Taisa is the same for Edom. Taisa says, it's not machshav alone, it's a deeper. Rashi says, it's a deeper b'fnei Edom. Why stressing b'fnei Edom? Same idea. Because if there weren't Edom there, even if he spoke about it, the same way in machshav in his mind, unless he's Mr. Honest and Innocent and comes clean that he once had a machshav to steal it, we're not going to know about it. And if he speaks it out, if he spoke up, you know, out loud, he's talking to himself and no one heard it, then also we're not going to know about it. The Edom are there just in order for us for it to be a scenario where we know, we're aware that there was a shlichus yad here. So says Gilyan Hashas, once I'm saying that, say Bechlal, the Dibur according to Rashi, is not because machshav alone is not enough, you need a Dibur, but rather it's because you need to be able to, we need to be able to know about it, and how else would we know about it? So according to Gilyan Hashas, Rashi is not stressing like Tosfos that machshav alone is not enough, and you need a Dibur. And Tosfos connects it to Pigel, and elsewhere, Rashi is just saying, we have a Dibur here with Edom in order that you should know about it, and Rashi would be more like Rambam, that machshav alone would potentially be enough. Another case, by the way, is relevant. This concept is very relevant in the mornings. In the mornings, if a person wakes up, you know, before you learn Torah, you're supposed to make brachas of Torah. There's a discussion in the Mor Brachas whether or not a person can be maharer. He could think in learning without making a brachas of Torah. Is it only when he speaks in learning, or even maharer? Maharer over the talk about when they used to not learn if they were tummy. To Tumazera, if they're talking until they went to the mikvah, if you can't talk and learn, but maybe you can think and learning, but that relates to our conversation over here, whether machshava has a status like deeper or not. If you hold that machshava is mamash like deeper, it wouldn't make a difference, thinking and learning or talking and learning. But if you hold that's not the same level, which is tesis, and the simple reading of Rashi clearly seems to be saying that thinking is not the same as talking, again, it's still mitzvah Talmud Torah. The guy is still being yates Talmud Torah, but the chiv to make a bracha, perhaps, or the Isser to learn before Tfilas Ezra, that maybe wouldn't apply by hearer the same way it applies by Deber, like you see over here, and there's a difference in those in speaking as opposed to thinking. Okay, but says the Mishnah. Again, a person's Cheshev to be Shleich Yad, Beshameh says Yichai, Beshel says, you have to physically be Mishlech B'yad. Forget about hearer or Deber, Beshel says, you need to action, you need to actually do the Shleichus Yad. Why is that? Shnemer, because the Pasuk says, Im Lei Shalach Yad, it's talking about the actual act of being Shleich Yad, not just the intent. He does a chavis, if the shamer tilted the chavis, the wine, in order to take out for himself a revius of wine, and he took out a revius of wine, the nishbara, then later, he put it, then he set it back down, and then later, it broke, ain mishalim el revius. He only has to pay revius. Why? Because since he didn't lift up the barrel, he was never kind it, he simply tilted it to get at the revius, so the revius that he stole. He's a ganav on that revius. But he's not considered shlech piyad on the rest, because he didn't lift the whole thing up. The halacha is, even if I lift up the whole thing, well, we'll see the next line. If I lift up the whole thing just to be kinda to take a revius, then I'm taking care of the whole thing, because my act of lifting up the whole thing, even just to take apart, makes me shleich yad in all. But if I never lifted up the whole thing, I just tilted it, I'm only chayev for what I took out, namely the revius. If it later breaks pinus, I'm going to be putter. However, if you lifted it up and took revius, then the nishbara breaks later, again, down the road, he set it back down and later broke from an inus. If it broke from Pashi, anyway, he'd be chayav. But if it broke from Reinus, halachas mishal mekula, he's got to pay the value of it all. Top of mem dal amnal. So tomorrow, menon imidi. How do we know this machlekes b'shamay mesil? How do we know this idea that according to b'shamay machshav alone is enough, and according to mesil you need an actual ma'isa? Says the maratona, but we went to the price of al kol dvar pesha. The pasuk says al kol dvar pesha for any matter of pesha of negligence. That's the same pasuk which discusses im leishalach yodim melechus reyo about shlichus yad. So it says over there, called Vapesh. Beshamay Aimrim, Beshamay says, Melamed Shechayev HaMachshava K'maisa. This teaches that one's Chayev for a Machshava like a Maisa. For a Machshava alone, he's Chayev as if he did a Maisa. That's the Rebuy, it's a Rebuy in a cold Vapesh. Ubeisil Aimrim, Ein Chayev at Sheshach B'yad. Beisil says, no, you're only Chayev if you did actual Shechaz Yad, like the Pasuk says, the next words. Shinemar, Im Lei Shalach Yadim Lechaz Reyo. Like the next words say, Im Lei Shalach Yadim Lechaz Reyo. And he doesn't learn from Al Kod Vapesha, Rebuy, that Machshava alone's enough. Ask the Gemara, what do you do with the lashon of a kol dvar pesha? Isn't a kol dvar pesha coming to include any matter of pshia, including machshava, should be enough for chiyuv? Yeah, but what are you going to do? It says lashon l'shach yad, which is mashmi, you have to actually do physical shichas yad. Until then, you're not going to be chayev. Im kain, this is Basil answering the Taina Beshamai, Im Kain, Matam Lama Kol Dvar Pesha. So why does it? What do I do with the Lashon of Kol Dvar Pesha, which is Mashma, to include even any form of Pshia, maybe even Machshava? Says Gemara Shiachal in the Elohu. Amal Avdei Shluchim Minayim. We just pointed out this idea yesterday. I would think only Dafk if he does it himself Shichas Yad. If he tells his Eved or Shliach to do Shichas Yad for him, how do you know he's Chayav there too? So from Kol Dvar Pesha says for every matter of Pesha, he's Michayev, meaning even if it was done Al Yidei Shliach. Typically we have a klal, Ein Shliach Dvar Avera. If I send you to do an Avera, I don't get the Avera, you get the Avera, because maybe I'm being Misael Dvar Avera, maybe I'm Misaever, but along those lines, but I don't get the Avera because you have a choice. You have a choice to listen to me or listen to Hashem. You should be listening to Hashem. The Shliach gets the Avera, not me. Over here is one of the three exceptions that the Avera goes back to the Mishaleach. We spoke yesterday. One of them was Me'ila. That's what we had. We also have in the case of Shlichus Yad, and we had in the case of Dalvei. We had in the case of Dalvei, of a person who steals an animal and is Tavach HaMachri, he has to pay 4 or 5 times payment. Even if he doesn't do it himself, even if he has someone else shecht it, it's over there we say, Tvicha compared to Mechir, we say that one is Chayev, even I did the Tvicha of his proxy of his shliach. We pointed out that Rambam only brings that Mi'ila as exception to the rule, and we gave a couple explanations why Rambam only brought Mi'ila as exception to the rule, why the other case weren't considered exception, our case, namely Shichas Yad, and the case of Tavach HaMachar, we said, because those are really all part, it's part of a bigger picture. He already had to be a shamer who was shliach b'yad in order to, he has to already have been a shamer for the Shichas Yad to kick in, or he already has to have been a ganef for the Dalvei to kick in, so it's part of a greater pshia with a pretext, and therefore it's not fully Yeshich Vavera, but it's along those lines. It's similar to Me'ila, where the Gemara says these are three exceptions. Now, what's interesting is the Sma writes that the Shliach is still Chayev. By Shlichus Yad, if the shliach has money to pay for the damages, the shliach is chayev. And all the farshim jump along and say, what do you mean? Our gemara, Beisil, we're darshaning, this is one of the exceptions, that yeh shliach v'avera, which means the mishaleach is chayev, the baal bekadon is chayev. And here the sma is saying that the shliach will still be chayev if he has money to, if he has money to pay, he's chayev. How do we reconcile the sma with our gemara, with this klal, that there's three exceptions to the rule that we say yeh shliach v'avera? So answers, that's all the farshim jump all over the sma. Answer the shach beautifully, that we're not saying that the shliach is responsible and not the mishaleach. This is an exception to the rule, that yesh shliach v'avera, and therefore the mishaleach will have responsibility, he's chayiv. But you know also has responsibility? The shliach as well. You have two culprits over here. We're not saying the only culprit is the mishaleach, that the avera goes solely from the shliach, and it's misyachas the mishaleach. Yesh shliach v'avera, and only mishaleach has the avera. The chiddush of the small avera is that b'shliach z'yad, not only is the mishaleach, well, in this case, in our case, the shemer, pekadon, chayiv, for the act of the shliach, the shliach himself, if he has money, kros b'chayiv, so the victim will have two potential places to collect from. Sometimes it makes it worse, makes it harder to collect. But he has two potential places to collect from. That's what Sma is saying, but he's not arguing on the idea of yesh shliach v'avera here. Interesting pshat from the beautiful Hesber, from the shach in the Sma. Okay. Says the Gemara further. He does a chadis. If he tilted the barrel of wine, then, and he took a revius, he's only chayiv for that revius. He never lifted the barrel. If later, the rest of the barrel later gets damaged, the einus is butter. But if he lifted it, then he's going to be chayiv for any damage that happens later. Amar Rav Lishan al Nishbara, only if it was Nishbara. This said he's exempt. When he tilted it, that took out a revius and left the rest, and he's exempt because he didn't lift the rest, is only where it broke. An einus happened and it broke. Avach mitza. But what if what happened to the rest of the wine was, it's spoiled, it turned into vinegar, then mishal maskula. The shamer who took a little bit misappropriated a drop or vias, he's got to pay for it all. Why? My taima giri dide anale. Giri literally means his arrows. His arrows help cause it. Meaning, a barrel that's full has a longer shelf life and it preserves better than a barrel that has some airspace. Once there's some airspace in the barrel, once you empty some out, it opens it up to spoilage. If what happened was it became vinegar, we can attribute the fact that it spoiled to the vias that he removed, and therefore he's going to be chayev. Even though he only tilted it, took out a vias, never lifted it, we say he's a mazik. His actions is a mazik. He caused the damage directly. It's not like so much as gzeil as much as a hezek, and therefore he's chayev. If he lifted up and took from it, then he's chayev for the rest. No matter how it breaks, he's chayev because he was kind of with kinyani shlichus yad. Amar Shmuel, leinata al nata mamish. When it says he lifted up to take and he took, doesn't mean he actually took. Elakivish yigbia litol afabish leinatal. Even if he just lifted to take without actually taking, he's already chayev. Once he lifted up with the intent to take, he now becomes kind of the whole thing like a gazim with a kinyan with the shlichus yad action, and he's chayev if any damage happened later, even if he took nothing. Ask the Gemara, let me come over Shmuel, shlichus yad and shlichus saran. The chayev just lifts up to take, and then he puts it back down. There's no chasaran there. We had a home achleikis. We touched it yesterday. We touched it a couple days ago. Where the shlichus yad is only chayev, you only come shlichus yad if there's some loss, some chasaran. According to Shmuel, lifting up and putting it down is enough to be chayev, and there's no chasaran there. Is this not a raya? The Shmuel subscribes to the opinion that Shlichus Yad does not need a chasaran. We had a discussion a few about back. Rav and Shmuel, weren't sure who says what, says Gemara, Armilai. We can say, no, not a raya that Shmuel's of the opinion that Shlichus Yad doesn't need a chasaran. Shiny Hachavir is different to Nichalei, where the Shemer is Nichavim, that Avi Hachav is Kula Basis Larvius. What happened was, let's think what's going on over here. The Shemer Pekadon lift up the barrel with intent to pour out Arvias. And he didn't pour it out. And then he puts it back down, he's still chayev. You know why? Not because lifting up alone is enough without a chazaran. Over here, when he lifts it up, and he has a mind to take Arvias, he's really being kind of the Arvias. He didn't pour it out, but he's kind of it. And you know where's the best place to store the Arvias? In the barrel of wine. In the barrel of wine, where it is, it's the best place. So we view it, we understand that he's being kind to the Revius, which he happened not to pour it out. So it's not like he changed his mind from stealing it. He just didn't pour it out, but he picked it up and had to be kind of. He is kind to the Revius. And then when he leaves it inside the barrel, that's the best storage for him, and therefore he's chayiv. Still doesn't answer the chayiv back to question. What happened to Shechaz Yatsu Yichasaran? Where's the chasaran? Where's the chasaran? The answer is that Shechaz Yatsu Yichasaran is, if he hasn't stolen anything yet, and he's intending to steal, and there's no lost item, then we say it's a problem. In a chasaran, it's not shechus yad. But if he's actually stolen part of it, that, of course, itself could represent the chasaran. The stealing itself, the portion that he's keeping for himself, legabi that, he's still certainly considered that he stole that portion, and therefore, that would be, even if you hold shlichus yad is not mechuyev without a chasaran on everything, he's certainly chayev for the part that he's misappropriated. So therefore, that's enough to be mechayev him. Okay, Amri Leishan, Yachad Nichle, to have the Chavis Hakula, Basis Larvias. He's happy to have the rest of the Chavis, a bus as a base for his Revias, meaning it's a better way to protect his own Revias than he was kind of, i.e., lifting the barrel. So along these lines, Bayer of Ashi, Higbi Arniki, if the Shamer picked up a purse that was
given by him for safekeeping. Lifted up a dinar. He lifted up to take away from it a dinar. Mahu? What's the halacha? He lifted up to take the dinar. Is he chayev on the entire purse? Or is he not chayev until he at least removes one of the coins? Chamer, it's a nice segue to the next sugya, next Mishnah about coins. Chamer, hudla minter el agav chamer. Buy wine, we said, it's geshmak to watch the wine, the revis of wine with the rest of the barrel. That's the best place to store the wine. And therefore, he's happy to leave it there. And therefore, he's chayev maybe for the wine. Avozuza minter, you can watch one coin by itself. You have to watch a coin amongst other coins. Idil mashani turis darni, kim turis diner. Or do we say, no, watching a diner by itself is not the same as watching it within a purse. Since he wants to leave it in the purse, it's not so much being with other diners, but being in the purse is the milah. And maybe therefore, he's considered to have kind of removed it and cut it and put it back and left it there. And therefore, you'd be chayev, take your, we leave our resolve. Hadron, Allah, Mesechtas, I'm sorry, Hamafkin, Perak Hamafkin, Mazdav, I'm finishing Perak Hamafkin. Now we get into, it's going to be, don't want to scare anyone, but Azov and Ezer Neshech are known to be more the two most the challenging Perakim in the Mesechta, much more business related as opposed to Kenya related, business related, and of course, Ribbis related as opposed to what we've been dealing with till now. Zakhni, Mishnah. Hazav kainas kesef. In every transaction, just to, before we start the mission, in every transaction, you have the typically you have the item that's being we'll call it, the Gemara is going to refer to as peira, the peiris. That's the item that's being purchased, and you have the money, the currency that's buying it. Sometimes you can be bartering two things that are very similar, like the mission's first case, gold and silver. So one of them is going to have to be considered the peiris, and one is the money. The reason why is that, I mean, it doesn't always have to be. You can be machlof a par v'chamar, you exchange a par v'chamar. But the point is, it's where it's relevant is because the kinyanim that take place when we make a kinyan, the monetary transfer is not the kinyan. Ironically, even though today it's very common that even when you deal with goyim and things like that, monetary transfer is the kinyan. But we say that by us, the kinyan is machshel if it's daraisa or darabanan, because maybe you can say that the seller is going to say that your product was the one that got destroyed in the fire if something bad happens. But either way, whether it's darabanan or daraisa, we hold that your only kind of items, your only kind of metalton with mashicha. You have to be meshich item. When you do meshicha on the item, that's when the key takes place. So you do meshicha, I can give you money to buy your item, and then you can change your mind and not sell it to me, even though you already took the money, because the key doesn't take place till the meshicha. So the question is always going to be, what's the item and what's the currency, right? If the currency is the mammon, that's not making the kinyan. The item, the mashiach of the item is making the kinyan. Let's see the Mishnah. Hazav kainas kesef, exchanging gold for silver coins. So the gold coins is kaina the kesef, meaning kesef is reviewed as the money, the currency. And Zav is viewed as the kind of the commodity, the product that you're buying. And the reason is because, very simply, because Kesef was more common in the currency. More people had Kesef. Kesef was more commonly exchanged, or more probably commonly used for money, for transactions. And therefore, since it's more popular to be used for transactions than silver, than gold, so therefore, the silver coins had more of a status of money, the gold is a status of payers. So when you're doing an exchange, when the person who's receiving the gold makes a kinyan on the gold, transaction is done. Now it's sealed. You still have, if you owe the silver, you have to give the silver still, but it's done. You can't retract. Whereas, if the one who's getting the gold didn't take the gold, rather the one who's getting the silver just took the silver, then that's just the money. That's not a full-fledged Kenyan yet. Says the Mishnah, Hazav Kainas, HaKesef, HaKesef Eina Kainas Zav, but the Kesef is not Kainas, the Zav, the taking of the silver is not affect the Kenyan on the gold. And similarly, HaNachesh Kainas HaKesef, HaKesef Eina Kainas HaKesef. Again, comparing Kesef and HaKesef, Kesef is more commonly used currency. The money of Kesef is considered more, Kesef is the money. The Cheshes would be considered the product that you're buying. And therefore, taking hold of the Cheshes is a kinyan on the Kesef, but not vice versa. The Mishnah doesn't speak out, but the Rush brings two different days. What would be between the Cheshes and Zav? They're both coins. We're talking about the Cheshes coins and Zav coins. And we're just saying both of them compared to Kesef. Kesef is more of the kind of the currency. Okay, but what about between Zav and Cheshes? And the Rush brings two different days. I mean, two different opinions. Obviously, it could be either Kesef or Nechashas. He brings two different, either Zav or Nechashas. He brings two different options of which direction we go. Says the Mishnah further, Mai Sarayis, kindness as Yafis, Vayafis, ain't kindness as Sarayis. Money that is exchanging bad coins for the good ones, so taking the bad coins is a kinyan for the good coins, because the good coins are the currency, and the bad coins are considered the commodity, but not vice versa. Asimon was a type of coin that was used back in the day, but it's typically an unminted coin. It's a coin that wasn't yet imprinted with the currency of the government of the melech. Asimon kind of matbea. So the asimon is considered like the payris, And the matbeya, the coin, of course, is the currency. So taking the hold of the siman is kind of the matbeya of amatbeya and kind of the siman, but not vice versa. Metaltan kind of the matbeya and metaltan and kind of metaltan. This is a good synopsis. Maybe this slide would have been easier if it was first. Metaltan is kind of the matbeya. So if I'm giving you metaltan, I'm giving you the shtender, and you're giving me money. So when you take hold of the shtender, the kinyan is in effect. You now own the shtender, and I now am entitled. I owe that money. I own that money. It's still by you. You have to make sure to give it to me. But I own the money. There's no going back. Whereas if I just take the money and you haven't taken the shtender yet, that's not a kinyan. What's the klal? There's a shayla for geiris that klal. But either way, some take it out. We're going to read it without it. Kol metaltan kinyan zeh. All metaltan are kind of one another. Like we said before, if you exchange metaltan for metaltan, then either one, whichever one you do first, affects the kinyan, because when they're both metaltan, they're both items of kinyan, any one of them is going to be sufficient to put the kinyan in place. If the dimashich had the payers, but the fellow who's getting the payers didn't give the money yet, and yachlachas by, still you can't. None of them can renege on the deal. If the money was given but the payers weren't given yet, yachlachas by, you can renege on the deal. Avol, famous idea in the Mishnah. Amru Chazal said, the Chum said that if a person paid money and then the seller has a seller's remorse and says, you know, I don't want to sell it to you, take back your money, there's a mishapar, it's a curse. Mishapar ma'anshtar mabal, the darafaga, the one who paid back, the anshtar mabal, darafaga, should pay back, who has the pardon me, shayna ayma bidwir, someone who doesn't stand by his word, and reneges on the deal. What's the shaykh to the darmabal, darafaga's darmabal, we understand, darmabal, the aver, the chit, it was gezel. So taking money for a transaction, and then giving it back and saying, I want to undo the transaction, is a form of gezel, we understand. But what does that have to do with the darflaga? So first I'll explain that really the common chit between darmabal and darflaga, even those who engage in gezel, is a lack of betach, lack of emunah. Someone who has betach will never steal. Forget about the fact that the Torah says you can't steal. What are you stealing for? Whatever you're supposed to have, you can have. Stealing is not going to change that. And therefore, and darflaga, of course, was the issue of betachin. That's the connection. So a person who reneges on his deal, it's a lack, showing a lack of betachin. And therefore, mishapara from them, shapara from this fellow as well. But again, the bottom line is, he can retract. He can retract in practice, but it's the wrong thing to do. And he comes on in this curse. Rav Shimon Eimer, Kol Shekasev Yaday, Yaday Yayin. Rav Shimon says, whoever has the money in his hand, his Yaday is Al Hel Yayin. The Gemara is going to explain, exactly elaborate on what Rav Shimon is coming to, on Rav Shimon is coming to say. The Gemara is coming to argue on what we said about, if you give the money, he can still be Chayzer. He's saying, whoever has the money, he has upper hand, and therefore Chazar is not so simple. He can't be Chayzer, because he'll say, I'm not going to make the money. Okay, we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Masi Le Rabbi Lashimbri. Rabbi taught his son, Rav Shimon. Rabbi taught his son, Rav Shimon, Hazav Kainas Kesef. Zav is Kainas Kesef. Zav, the Kinyan on the Zav is Kinyan Kesef. Amalai is Kainas, the Kesef, wherever it is. Amalai, Rabbi. So, interesting, Rav Shimon didn't say Abba, he said Rabbi. He called his father Rabbi. He called him my teacher. Shani Salanu Bialdusucha. A Kesef Kainas Hazav. The Dax Petition Lam is Kedusucha. Hazav Kainas Kesef. You swapped. Initially, you taught that the Zav, the silver, is Kainas the Zav. And now you're teaching, like we have in our Mishnah, Hazav Kainas HaKesef. What happened? So the Mark explains, Bialdusa Maikazav, Rebbe Zagrusa Maikazav. What did he hold in his young years? What did he switch to in his older years? Bialdusa Savar, Dava Chashiv, Dava Chashiv, Havitiva. Initially he held the gold coin, which is more valuable, is considered the money. Because it's more valuable, that's more of the currency. And Kasva Chashiv, Kasva, which is less Chashiv, Havipayri, that's the payris, that's like the product that you're buying. The Kanilei paid the Tiva. Therefore, the Kesef is what affects the Kinyan, not the Zav. It's always the product that affects the Kinyan. However, it's the Kudus Zavar, Kaspa, the Charef, Havi Tiva. But then when he got older, Rebbe switched to hold that the silver, which is more Charef, more Charef, literally means Tap Rashi, Yetzir, Beitzav, Evel Secher. It's more commonly used in business dealings. Kesef is more commonly used in the market, and therefore, since it's more Charef, that becomes the coinage, that's the currency. The Havid Lecharef is gold, which is not so much used in the currency. Lecharef, Havi Peri, that's because of the Peris, the current of the Peri, the Tiva, and therefore, the Peri is current of the Tiva, namely, the Zav, the Kinyan on the Zav, is what affects the Kinyan on the Kesef as well, and not vice versa. That was the change. Amar Vashi. Actually, Mistavra, like he thought in his youth, that the Zav, because it's more valuable, that's more of the currency. Why? Because we have the Mishnah, the Chesh is kind of Kesef. Now, why is the Chesh is kind of Kesef? If you say that the silver, in comparison to gold, is considered the payers. The silver is the payers, not the gold. That's why also, same thing about the Chesh is. Even though when it comes to gold, in comparison to gold, the silver is called the peres. In comparison to chayshes, where silver is more chashev than chayshes, the same way gold is more chashev than silver, so silver is more chashev, therefore it becomes the currency. If you say when you compare the silver to the silver is the currency, the gold is the product. So hashta gabi davi chashev minei amativa havi, by telling me when you compare the silver to the gold, it's considered the currency. So legam nechayshes you chashev you charef mebayi. Why does the Mishnah have to speak out that when you compare silver to nechayshes, the silver is the currency and the nechayshes is the way you're buying? The silver has two ma'alas. It's more chashev and it's more over laseicher, as Rashi says, it's more used in currency. So why does the Mishnah have to say it? It would be obvious. Elamai, it must mean that the idea of being more chashev makes the item more of a product. So the Zav was initially, makes it more of a currency. Take it back, more of a currency. So the Zav, like Rebbe Thorne's Yaldusa, was the currency because it was more chashev, and we're stressing now that the Zav, the Kesef, the Gamin Chayshas, because the Kesef is more chashev, therefore it's the currency. Says Gemara, no, it's Rech. I still need the mission to say this by Kesef and Chayshas. Sagi Dachamina, I would have thought, Hani, Priti, Ba'ashu Sagi, these copper prutas, in a place where they do circulate, where copper prutas are used, in the Chavit Tvei Mekaspa, they're actually more used than even silver in those places. And therefore, maybe that's the currency. This is plenty of places where these copper coins, people don't accept them, they don't use them, like our pennies. So pay ravi, it's considered pay ravi, even though some places it's used more, in many places not used at all. So we consider the nechayshes, the copper, as the pay ravi, and the silver is considered the kesef. Vafra p'chiyasavar, the hava tiva have, and p'chiy also holds, like the original shita of Rebbe, like Rebbe Bekatnuse, that the gold is the tiva, the gold is the coinage, is the currency, is the money, and the silver is the product, is the payris. Where do you see this? The rabbi Yisuf Dinarim Berati Rav Chiya. Because Rav borrowed money from the daughter of Rav Chiya. Rav, of course, we know, was the nephew of Rav Chiya twice over. Rav was the nephew of Rav Chiya, both from the mother's side and from the father's side. Nephew of Rav Chiya, meaning Rav Chiya was his mother's brother, and his father's brother sounds complicated, but he was a half-brother to Rav's mother, half-brother to Rav's father, and then those Rav's mother and father, of course, were related. But anyway, his daughter was Rav's cousin, first cousin, really twice over. Okay, he borrowed money from her. L'seif Yakri Dinri. Rav borrowed money from Rav's daughter, and eventually the diners went up in value. Asakamayt Rav-Chia, Rav came in front of Rav-Chia, and he wanted to, the shail was, could he pay back? Because he borrowed dinrim, gold coin, gold dinars, and he wanted to pay for gold dinars, but gold dinars now became worth more. Amalei zilshalim la tavan usleklilin. Rav Chiya said, no problem, go pay a good, full-weighted dinars, don't worry about it, you can pay back regular gold dinars. Now, how can you do that? If dinars are considered a currency of money, so he took this money, and he paid back the money. But if it's considered a payri, says the Gemara, if you say it's considered a coinage, it's like money, gold dinners are all money, then it's good. Gevaldik, Shapir. Eli Amr, Pei Rahavi, what's the issue? The issue is, this is going to come up in the next parak at length. In Eze Neshech, that's a big topic. Havli Sav Asa, V'yasser. The halacha is if one borrows a sa, and he returns a sa of grain. He borrows a sa and returns a sa of grain, that's a problem. Why? Because the sa of grain, when he borrowed it, could be trading at, just make up a number, at 10 prutas per sa, and when he's returning, he's trading at 15 prutas per sa. So granted, he borrowed a sa of grain and gave back a sa of grain, but he's really paying back more money than he borrowed, and that would be a problem of ribbis. It's a rabbinic issue. We'll see more about it in Eze Neshech. But if the gold is considered a peiri and not a coinage, not a currency, not money, then you should be concerned. And the fact that Rav Chiya wasn't concerned clearly is because gold must be considered money. Says Gemara, no, not a raya. Why? Rav didn't have a lay. Rav had gold coins the whole time. The halacha is by sub asa that if I borrow from you a sa and I return for you a sa later, which I didn't have, then we have this concern that as the parents at least of ribbis. But if I borrow from you a sa and I have a sa, it's just by yedim, I can't get hold of it. It's in storage. It's locked up. It's a little bit far away. I own it, but I can't get hold of it. So the whole issur d'rabbanan doesn't apply because we view it not that the lender already takes possession of that sa that I have somewhere else. He didn't make a kinyan on it. But the whole issue is the issue of optics anyway. It looks like it's ribbis. What we look at is if the sa that I have elsewhere is being exchanged for the sa that you're giving me now. And therefore you had it the whole time. And therefore I'm just giving you that which was yours the whole time. And therefore it's not a problem of ribbis. So Rav, in this case, had dinrim. Since he had gold dinrim, it was never a problem of ribbis. Maybe essentially what the Gemara is saying is, avada, you could say that gold, according to Rav Chiya, is not like Rebbe was saying initially. Gold, according to Rav Chiya, is money. Is gold coin to Rav Chiya
his payris. And still it's not a problem because Rav had other dinrim. He had other payris the whole time. Says the Mara, Rav dinner havele, v'kibet havele dinrim, nasa kaimela halveni ashev ebni, oi achem sev mafteach. It's as if he said, lend me this until my son comes, or with the stuff, or until I get the key to open up the warehouse to get the stuff. The point is, it already existed, if it already existed by the borrower, the issue of sav asah doesn't apply. So it could be payris, and still sav asah wouldn't apply, not a raya that he holds that it is a din of coinage. Amrav's go few more lines. Masab Amar Rava. Hi Tana Savar Davetiv Havi. This Tana in the following brisa, he holds that gold is coinage again, like the initial teaching of Rebbe, like Rebbe, not like our Mishnah, but like Rebbe in his Yelduse. Why the time when the brisa pruta shamar echad mishpana isuri talki. The pruta by kedushin, the pruta they spoke about for kedushin is 1/8 of the Italian Isser, Isser Talki. L'may nafkamina, look at Isha. Nafkamina is, for Kedush Isha, you would say that Isha is Mekadesh only with a Pruta, not less. Isha is not Mekadesh, not less than a Pruta. And we say that what's that value? That value is 1/8 of the Italian Isser. Okay. Isser, Echa Me'eser Abba, B'dinar Shekesef. Isser itself is 1/24 of a silver dinner. L'may nafkamina, what's the practical nafkamina that to know this amount, the value of an Isser? L'gabe silver dinrim. L'mechamem, l'gabe buying and selling, l'gabe buying and selling to know the valuations of the coins, what the person had in mind in the transaction. So, for example, let's say the gabayna. If a person was charged 24 issers for a silver dinner, he may be the halach is it starts to fall into the realm of ayna. And if it's over by a six, then the mekach is going to be batal. Lastly, and this is the part that we need for araya. Dinner shekasef echemes v'chamisha b'dinner shazav. Silver dinners are 1/25. Of a gold dinner. There's 25 silver dinars in a gold dinner. Each gold dinar is worth 25 silver dinars. But the point is, you're being titled the silver dinars in the gold dinars. Now, if gold dinars are payrus, if it's a product, it wouldn't make sense to be titled a coin, a silver dinar, in a gold dinner, and gold dinner itself is a payri. Rather, it makes sense that gold dinar itself is like considered like a currency, it's a money, and therefore we're being titled the silver and the gold. Says the Gemara. Yeah, Bishlam Tivavi. Bishlam, if you say, oh, I skipped. My nafkamina, pinyin aben. Nafkamina is for the value by pinyin aben. Maybe speak more about this blinder later when we do the when we cover Shabbos and stuff. But let's just finish up this line. My says the Mara. Yeah, Bishlam Tivavi. If you say that it's considered coinage, the gold is considered coinage, so it makes sense you're being tailed the silver in the gold. Mishar tana midikayitz, you're being mishar the silver in midikayitz, namely in something which is also considered somewhat fixed, gold, which is also a currency. Eliam repairhav, if you say that gold itself is considered payris, mishar tana midikayitz, the tana is going to make the silver telling something which itself fluctuates, the gold itself, if it's viewed as a currency, so it itself is a money. But if itself is really just a payri, it itself goes up and down, why are you being tailed your silver in something which itself goes up and down? Zimnin, what's going to happen? Zimnin the mahad lelekana. Sometimes the kain will have to give back extra change to the father. And sometimes the father's going to have to add more to the kain. It's not a good reference point if the point of reference is something that itself fluctuates. It must be that this Tana holds that gold dinners is a coinage, it's a money, it's not a payri, and therefore you're able to be tailor the value of the silver based on the value of the gold for reference point for Pidgin Aben. It's a good way that this number goal is like the initial Malach of Rebbe Pozovir. Pick up later, Mr. Shambab, another year to cover Daf Memhei, Shabbos Daf. Have a wonderful day.